Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you with open hearts and open minds. Will you speak through your word and through your spirit deep into our hearts, individually and collectively, that we may learn from you and walk in your ways always for your glory. Amen. Wow. Did you get what the author of the Hebrews said to the recipients of that letter? How would you feel if that had been said to you? We have much to say about this, but it's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. That's hard hitting. Solid food is for the mature. What's our spiritual diet like? Are you nurturing yourself for eternity or just for today? Is your diet adequate for who you are called to be? That's something to think about. And if you take notes, either written or up here, then that's a takeaway. Because tonight, solid food, the question of diet, is not going to be our main focus. Our focus is going to be the second half of that equation. Maturity. Mature. What is it to be mature? And we're going to look at some indicators of what it is to be mature. And we're going to ask ourselves some hard questions, which might then lead us back individually to that question of diet. But before we go on, an advisory warning. Now, all sermons should really come with an advisory warning, but this one in particular. It's not for the faint of heart. Action on your part will be required. And I know that because as I've been preparing over the last few days, I found myself deeply challenged. So I would be very surprised if you also were not deeply challenged. Each one of us deeply challenged, perhaps in different ways. So solid food is for the mature. What does it mean to be mature? Many Christians may think they are mature, but by biblical standards, they aren't. What do you think it means to be mature? What are some of the generally accepted marks of maturity? Age? Is age a sign of maturity? If you've been around a long time, does that automatically make you mature? No. If you've been following the news headlines recently, you'll know that Sam Allardyce, who's really big in the football world and for years had wanted the England manager job, he's in his 60s and he made an unbelievably immature mistake. He was offering advice on how to circumvent Football Association transfer rules and make money out of it. No, just because you're older doesn't make you mature. Being around a long time doesn't make you mature, it just makes you older. So age does not equal maturity. What about Bible knowledge? That's quite often an obvious answer. We might well think, well, Bible knowledge makes me mature. Yet through history, There have been theologians and even clergy who have known the Bible. They had very deep Bible knowledge. And yet their actions and words show that they don't know the God of the Bible and they don't have a relationship with God. Some have cast doubts on events such as the resurrection because their idea of God is so small. The Bible tells us of a God who's bigger than our ideas about him. And to our shame, there have been those who have been more concerned with lining their pockets or perhaps getting a new executive jet or some other monument to themselves than with bringing people face to face with the life-changing, life-renewing kingdom of God. And their behaviour is neither biblical nor mature. The Pharisees knew the Old Testament. Many of them even knew it off by heart. But Jesus never accused them of maturity, did he? He accused them of many other things, but not maturity. So, no, Bible knowledge does not equal maturity. What about leadership? If you're a leader, does that not bestow maturity or indicate maturity? Well, we only have to look at the behaviour of some so-called leaders in recent political campaigns. Donald Trump's reported tirades against, among others, Latin Americans and especially Mexicans. You can call it lots of things. It's definitely not mature. And neither is Hillary Clinton's violation of email security and protocols. And if we come closer to home, there's been reports in the last few days of two of our MEPs allegedly brawling. One says there was a fight, the other says there wasn't. But all the language used was quite aggressive. Whatever. Certainly not mature. So being in leadership doesn't make you mature. Maturity is not a factor of age, it's not a factor of Bible knowledge, and it's not a factor of leadership. So what does the Bible actually say about maturity? Well, it's not a word or concept that's used a lot, but there are some references and some clues. And in 1 Corinthians 3, Paul tells us what not being mature is. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. Uh-oh, here we go again. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. You're still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarrelling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? We have some indicators there of what not being mature is. Worldliness is not mature. If we're worldly, if we're following the values, the attitudes, the expectations of the world around us, then we are not mature. Jealousy. Jealousy is not mature. If you're jealous of the success, achievements, or relationships of others, rather than being happy for them, you're not mature. Jealousy comes from discontentment of heart. It's profoundly negative. If you're jealous, you're not mature. Quarrelling is not mature. If you're quarrelsome, if you often find yourself fighting or wanting to fight about something, and not just physically, but perhaps intellectually or emotionally, then you're not mature. What is your reaction when something offends you? Does it make your blood boil? Do you want to respond, to lash out, to get your own back? And sometimes we do need to make a response. But quarrelling doesn't help. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." If you find yourself quarrelling, you're not mature. And being partisan is not mature. If your allegiance is more to a church leader, or to a style of worship, or type of service, or a way of thinking, than to Christ, then you're not mature. If we think our way of worshipping is the only way, or if we say, well, the Catholic Church is the only way, or the Evangelical Church is the only way, or the Charismatic Church is the only way, we're being partisan, we're not being mature. So those are some indicators of what it is to not be mature. But Paul also mentions maturity in Ephesians 4, and this time in more affirmative tones. His definition of maturity in Ephesians 4 is attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Are you attaining fullness in Christ? You might be wondering, well, what does it even mean? It's about discipleship. It's about actively seeking to grow in Christ. Are you seeking to intentionally walk daily with Jesus? And are you allowing him to change you from the inside out? A teacher challenges students to grow and learn. Do you feel regularly challenged? Are you seeing changes and growth? If you're attaining fullness in Christ, you're mature. But if you're standing still with little or no movement, you're not mature. What else does the Bible say about maturity? When James 1 verse 4, the angle that James comes from is that maturity is a defining mark of someone who perseveres in faith. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Are you someone who perseveres? Or are you someone who gives up? Endurance is a sign of maturity. So we've heard from the author of the Hebrews, we've heard from Paul, and we've heard from James. But what about Jesus? What does Jesus say about being mature? Well, in the Gospels, Jesus only talks specifically about maturity on one occasion. And that's in the parable of the sower, when he's explaining it to his disciples, and he says, the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. Being preoccupied by and worrying about riches and pleasure is a sign of lack of maturity. Now, other than that, Jesus doesn't specifically, explicitly mention maturity. But he does have a great deal to say about wisdom, about being wise. Do you remember the parable of the wise and foolish builders? The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the foolish man built his house upon the sand. I almost find myself singing it. Here's a question for you to think about. What made the wise man wise? And what made the foolish man foolish? What made the wise man wise? How many of you are going through the song in your head? The wise man built his house upon the rock. The rain came down and the floods came up. And the house and the rock stood still. The rain came down and the floods came up. and the house and the sand fell flat. Uh-oh. The song doesn't tell us, does it? It doesn't tell us what made the wise man wise or what made the foolish man foolish. And that's why we need theology, not songology. Because when we look in the Gospels, it's very clear. Jesus says, everyone who hears my words and obeys them is like a wise man. And everyone who hears my words and does not obey them is like a foolish man. It's not an issue of hearing. Both men heard the words. And it's not an issue of understanding. Both understood. But the wise man listened, digested, and took the words into himself. And he then acted on them. The difference is that one does it and the other doesn't. One does it and the other doesn't. So what would Jesus say would be the mark of a mature, wise Christian? What is Jesus asking us to do? That if we do, we're being wise, mature Christians. And if we don't, we're being foolish and immature. Now, there are quite a few pointers in the Gospels and in the Bible generally. And that's why it's really important that we regularly read and meditate on the Word, on the Scriptures. Now, here are just a few pointers. Just a few. There's a lot more. And we're not going to go through every single one of these, otherwise we'd be here till at least midnight. But I'm going to draw out just a few of them. Because sometimes we miss the depth of them. And sometimes we've got so used to them that we take them for granted. But each one of these poses a deep challenge to each one of us. Because the kingdom of God is countercultural. The kingdom of God is not of this world. So we'll start with the top one. Repent. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Words with which Jesus began his ministry. If you're not repenting, you're not mature. And to repent, it's one of those church words. What do we actually mean? Do you really understand it? To repent means to turn. It's about turning away from things that are against God and turning towards God. And it's also active. It's dynamic. It's not a once-in-a-lifetime event. It's not like graduating. Yeah, I graduated in 1990, whenever. I repented in 2001. It's active, it's dynamic, it's ongoing. It's not just done once and forgotten. It's a constant turning towards God and turning away from the things of this world, the things that are against God. Are you constantly turning towards God? Because if you are, you're mature. And if you're not, you're not mature. Be reconciled. Is there anyone with whom you're not reconciled? Because if there is, you're not mature. And that's not me speaking. That's Jesus. Are there broken relationships that you can be active in mending? Perhaps with family or friends or co-workers or neighbours. The world around us doesn't often take the initiative. Usually, we prefer to hold on to the offence, the perceived injustice. But the kingdom of God is marked by reconciliation. In fact, it's so important that in Matthew 5:24, Jesus says that if we need to reconcile, we should leave worship and go and be reconciled and then come back. So important. Leave your gift at the altar. Leave worship and go and be reconciled and then come back. Reconciling is a mark of maturity. If we don't reconcile, we're not mature. And related to that, forgive. Forgiveness. The world often says, I'll say sorry if you say sorry first. I'll apologise if they apologise. But that's not God's way. We're told to forgive others as our Heavenly Father has forgiven us. Those words are right in the centre of the Lord's Prayer that we said a few minutes ago. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. God takes the lead in forgiving. And we're to demonstrate His kingdom through offering forgiveness. 10 years ago, in a small town in Pennsylvania, a 31-year-old man, a father of children, went to a school and shot 10 children. He killed 5 and badly injured another 5 before he himself was killed. Those children he killed were from the Amish community, and his parents lived amongst them. They weren't Amish, but they lived amongst them. And the families that were affected, the families of those murdered and injured children, chose to forgive the perpetrator's family. They even protected them from the media. They became friends, supporters, and helpers to one another. A family grieving, unable to understand what their son had done, and families grieving loss of children, or in some cases still the loss of children because the children were so badly injured they were paralysed. They chose to forgive. Through what must have been unimaginable pain, they chose to forgive rather than live in bitterness and anger. Forgiveness costs. And it cost God dearly to forgive each one of us. But it also liberates from the depths of anger, bitterness, and pain. If we do not forgive, we are not mature. If you store up treasures on earth rather than in heaven, Jesus says you're not mature. Are we more concerned about our job, our wealth, our things than about the kingdom of God? Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have shelter or jobs. But if these preoccupy us to the extent that we're more concerned about them than about God, then we are not mature. If we don't pay our taxes, Jesus says we're not mature. We've got responsibilities to the state as well as to God. And if we don't take these responsibilities seriously, we're not mature. Do we feed the hungry, nurse the sick, clothe the naked, visit the prisoner? I think of Beesham. I think of Bronzefield, CAP, many other charities, organisations trying to help. What can we be doing as individuals? Feeding the hungry, nursing the sick, clothing the naked, visiting the prisoner. These are things Jesus says are important to God. And if we do them, we demonstrate alignment with God's values, with God's kingdom, and we demonstrate maturity. But if we don't do these things, we're not mature. So how are you doing? Challenging, isn't it? The Bible challenges us to live by God's values rather than our own, rather than the values of the world around us. And if we don't live by God's values, we're not mature. That takes us right back to the passage we started with. Solid food is for the mature. The author of the Hebrews tells us that maturity is about taking responsibility and putting our faith into action. Paul tells us that maturity is about taking responsibility and putting our faith into action. James tells us that maturity is about taking responsibility and putting our faith into action. And Jesus tells us that maturity is about taking responsibility and putting our faith into action. It's not just about hearing. It's not even about understanding. It's about putting his words into action. We can't ignore our responsibilities. We can't subcontract them. We can't delegate them. We can't abdicate them. We can't ignore them. And we can't assume that someone else will do them. Jesus said, "Everyone who hears my words and obeys them is like a wise man." And everyone who hears my words and does not obey them is like a foolish man. It's not just about hearing. It's not just about understanding. It's not even about talking about it. It's about doing and being what God calls us to do and being. It's about being active, intentional, deliberate followers. Daily. Daily turning towards God. Daily repenting. Daily. Even when it's uncomfortable, even when it means paying our taxes, even when it means forgiving the person we don't want to forgive, even when it means loving the unlovable, even when it means dealing with those things we don't want to repent of, etc., etc., etc. You can go through that long list. Are we mature? Are we maturing? Are we on solid food? Are you attaining to fullness in Christ? Are you hearing, understanding, and doing? If not, why not? And what are you going to do about it? Amen.